We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
We're spending a few weeks talking about kings and kingdoms. Now, you may find it odd that we're looking at stories from the book of Judges, because the book of Judges took place at a time when Israel didn't have a king. But there were kings in Israel during the time of the Judges. There were lots of kings from other countries that came in and invaded them. And they all had one thing in common. They all died. Now, it wasn't always as dramatic as Eglon, but they all died. I mentioned this last week. The book of Judges is action-packed. It is an awesome book. It's exciting. We encourage you to check it out. Read through it. There's stuff going on every page. And sometimes it can be a little challenging to find the message behind all the action. But throughout the book of Judges, one theme is clear. Life in most kingdoms is brutal. Just look at the story of Eglon. Here, a man had to deliver Israel from this evil, fat king by tricking him into a back room and then stabbing a sword into him so deep it couldn't come out. That's harsh. In kingdoms, there's often a struggle for power. People are always oppressed. People will do whatever they have to do to seize power, including kill. That's how life is in kingdoms. And you can see it all around us today. You can see it in the news. Right now, Egypt is big in the news. There's a big struggle going on there. Lots of people are dying. But every day, there are similar struggles going on in countries that you don't even hear about. People are struggling for power, for wealth, and people are dying. You can see it in television shows and movies. Right now, a very popular show is Game of Thrones. And that's all about people trying to take the crown and become the king, and they kill each other. But you can see it in other shows like Breaking Bad. That's a very popular show right now. And if you look at it, it's about sort of building a kingdom and a guy who's willing to do whatever it takes to amass wealth and power. And movies and TV shows like these resonate with us because we see those same themes played out around us all the time. You can see it throughout the Bible, especially in the book of Judges. From the very beginning of the book of Judges, in the very first chapter, the Israelites are fighting the Canaanites. And the Israelites defeat them, and they capture their king, a guy by the name of Adonai Bezek. Judges 1, verse 6. Adonai Bezek fled, but they chased him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes. Now, among other things, our thumbs are a part of what make us human. They allow us to hold things and to do things and to write. They enable a lot of the things in life that we take for granted. And our big toes, they're kind of important. If you've ever broken your toe or had a foot injury, you might know what I'm talking about. Our big toes allow us to walk and balance. So in the ancient days, when they cut off the thumbs and big toes of a person, it would serve to dehumanize them. They'd have to crawl around. They couldn't use things. But wait, the next verse, Judges 1, verse 6. Then Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off have picked up scraps under my table. Now God has paid me back for what I did to them. They brought him to Jerusalem and he died there. Adoni-Bezek had done this to 70 kings. That's a lot of thumbs and big toes. But that's how it is in the kingdoms of this world. You can rise to the top. You can become king. But somebody can come along and take it all away. Even knock you lower than when you started. Life in most kingdoms is brutal. Even when not struggling for power within a kingdom, there's often a struggle for power outside the kingdom. Kingdoms often struggle for power with each other. They fight for territory. They fight for dominance. Kingdoms go to war. 2 Samuel 11, verse 1. In the spring, at the time when kings go off to war. Pause right there. What do kings do in the springtime? They go to war. That's what they do. It's like their natural inclination. They go to war for territory and for resources and for status. Conflict is continuous. Peace is rare. Kingdoms go to war, and kingdoms can take you. You can be captured. You can be carried to another land, taken into slavery. To kingdoms, you are a commodity. Kingdoms can steal you, but they can't prevent you from being stolen by another kingdom. And I would argue that this is as true today as it was back in the time of the judges. You may disagree. Kingdoms still exist. There's not as many, but they're still around. But you may say, well, England, there's a kingdom. They haven't taken anyone into captivity lately, and that's true. But that's not the kingdom that I'm talking about. I'm talking about a fallen kingdom. You have lived in a kingdom your whole life, and you may have never realized it. God created the entire universe. It all belongs to God. But a long time ago, Satan led a rebellion. He set himself up as the ruler of this world. Jesus refers to him as the prince of this world. The Apostle Paul calls him the God of this age. When Jesus is in the wilderness, Satan appears to him and tempts him. And he offers Jesus all the kingdoms of the world if Jesus will just now kneel down and worship Satan. Jesus doesn't dispute Satan's claim to all these kingdoms that he could give them. Jesus just says it's not worth it. Satan is the ruler of this world. Now, he's not God's designated ruler. God didn't put him in place as punishment for us. Oh, we were bad, so you're going to have a really terrible guy as your ruler. No, he's a usurper. We live in occupied territory. This world is in dispute. He came in and tried to take control of it. He made the world his kingdom, and his purposes are clear. John 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. All the suffering, all the disease, all the natural disasters, all the man-made disasters result from his influence on this world. Remember, kingdoms of this world are brutal. all the brutality around the world as people have struggled for power through murder and manipulation and betrayal, they were all just following Satan's lead. And they don't realize that as they're chasing power and wealth and fame, they're really just subordinate to the enemy. And the same is true today. We don't have as many kings today, but people still scheme and fight for power and wealth and fame. Celebrities, politicians. You can just look in some office buildings. There's power struggles going on all over the world, all over this city. People are seeking after the things of this world because this is the kingdom in which they live. This is what they're used to. This is the kingdom that we were all born into. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. It's not a very uplifting message. But I want to tell you about another kingdom. I want to tell you about a better kingdom. Last week, we talked about the true king, and that's Jesus. He is the King of Kings. His kingdom is completely different. His kingdom seems almost backward. The first will be last. Blessed are the meek. It's better to give than to receive. It doesn't make sense to the world that we live in. It runs contrary to everything that we've learned from this world. Now, as I tell you about this kingdom, I'm not going to pretend that I can describe this kingdom to you in the span of one sermon. It's beautiful. It's an incredible kingdom. But Jesus spent most of his ministry trying to describe this kingdom to people and help them see it. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it today. I can't cover everything, but if you have questions about this kingdom, the kingdom of God, you can text those into us. And the pastoral team will try our best to answer your questions. I may even address some in next week's sermon. Jesus spent his ministry telling people about the kingdom of God. And often, he would use parables to try to help explain it, to help people understand this unusual kingdom. Jesus compared it to a harvest field and a wedding feast and a treasure. But if you compare it to the kingdoms of this world, the kingdom of God doesn't seem to be like a kingdom at all. The kingdoms of this world are brutal and frightening, dangerous places. The kingdom of God is beautiful and peaceful and safe. Amen. The kingdom of God has things that nothing in this world can offer. The kingdom of God is amazing. Can I tell you about it today? This world offers power, but you have to take it by force. And you only get to have it until someone stronger comes along and takes it away from you. The kingdom of God offers love. In the kingdom of God, the powerful serve. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others. The night before he died, he washed the feet of his disciples. In God's kingdom, you get ahead by lifting others up. In the kingdoms of this world, things are temporary. You may achieve power or status or wealth for a time, but someone else will come along and take it away from you. In God's kingdom, things are eternal. You don't have to be afraid that someone is coming up behind you to take away what you have. Perfect love casts out all fear. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." And verse 33, "Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys." God gives us His kingdom freely and abundantly so that we can do the same. You don't have to worry about someone coming to take what you have.
All right.
When you can give it away for free.
Yeah.
And never run out.
That's good.
Last Christmas, we were talking about the kingdom of God and the Christmas battlefield. And I preached about the currency of God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, the currency is love.
Yeah.
It's so amazing because you can spend it. You can give it to everyone you see, and it doesn't deplete what you have. In fact, it multiplies it. You don't have to fight for it. You can share it. Jesus came to make a huge deposit, and now it's available to everyone. In fact, the value system in God's kingdom is completely different from the kingdom of this world. Jesus once addressed some Pharisees who had sold out the value to the value system of this world. Luke chapter 16, verse 15, he said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." The values in God's kingdom are completely different. God's kingdom values people as the children of God. It values people as made in the image of God. The kingdom of this world only values people as a commodity. Like that story from Judges, it wants to dehumanize you. The kingdom of this world only cares about, what can you do for me? What can I get out of you? As part of the kingdoms of this world, you're always under the threat of being taken captive. But as part of the kingdom of God, we already live in occupied territory. Once you're a part of the kingdom of God, no one can ever steal you out of it. In that way, the kingdom of God offers safety that you cannot find anywhere else. Praise God. Amen. In God's kingdom, there is safety. There is peace. And the enemy knows he can't steal you out of God's hand. Often, the worst thing he can do is to make you comfortable here so that you choose to be a part of his kingdom instead of the kingdom of God. But make no mistake, the enemy has no love for you. He hates you because you bear the image of God. His purpose is to kill and steal and destroy. He might make you comfortable now because he knows it will lead to your destruction later. He might try to make you comfortable, but if it serves his purposes, he wouldn't hesitate to strike you or the people you love with pestilence, with disaster, with any number of terrible things. He doesn't care for you at all. He looks forward to your destruction. Here, in this world, there is constant threat that at any moment we could fall victim to the broken, dysfunctional systems of this world. When bad things happen in this world, that's not from God. That's the ruler of this world. That's who he is. When you're going through bad things, that's the world, the kingdom that we live in. We live in a battle zone. But Jesus Christ has overcome this. this world. And he allows us to overcome it through him. God's kingdom offers peace. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's a peace like nothing you'll find in this world. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. On Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, back in the days of Rome, there was a lot of symbolism involved in kings. And it was understood as a symbol. When the king came into town, if he rode in on a white horse, that meant war. He was coming in as the champion to stir the people up. We're going to war and we're going to conquer. But if the king rode in on a donkey, that meant he was bringing in a time of peace. Jesus Christ is the king. And how did he ride into Jerusalem? On a donkey, bringing peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And he offers us that peace that surpasses all understanding. Praise God. The kingdom of God offers rest. In this world, you have to struggle at every moment, not just to get more, but just to maintain what you have. You have to fight. If you want to keep it, you got to keep others away from it. You have to be constantly vigilant. You can't ever let down your guard. But Jesus invites the weary and the heavy laden to enter into his rest. His burden is easy and his yoke is light. The kingdom of God offers us peace and rest. In the kingdoms of this world, the cross is a symbol of death. It's a symbol of humiliation. It's a symbol of defeat. But in God's kingdom, he was able to turn it around. And to us, it's a symbol of triumph. It's a symbol of Christ's victory. The kingdom of God can turn around the things that the enemy uses to oppress you and hurt you. In God's kingdom, they can be used for good. God can use all things for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. This world only offers death, but the kingdom of God offers life. Again, John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Amen. This is the kingdom of God. In God's kingdom, death is destroyed. In God's kingdom, there is no sickness. There is no sorrow. In God's kingdom, the king himself wipes away every tear. Does this sound like a place you want to be? Does this sound like a kingdom you want to live in? Yes and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. But where is this kingdom? How do we get in? Jesus told his disciples to declare the kingdom of God, to tell people that the kingdom of God has drawn near to you today. Well, where is it? Kingdoms are made of two things. First, there's land. There's a territory. You can mark it out on a map. The enemy has claimed this world as his territory. So the kingdom of God is not of this world. But there's a second thing to kingdoms. There's a second part. Kingdoms are made up of people. If you have some people who are from a certain kingdom, even when they're far away from it in a distant land, you can still say that that kingdom is there. that faraway kingdom is present because those people are part of that kingdom. Luke 17, verse 20. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation." And verse 21, "Nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is here today. It's within you. It's within the heart of believers. And when people who are followers of Jesus Christ are around, the kingdom of God is there. But how do we become part of this kingdom? How does it become part of us? Well, normally, to become part of a kingdom, you have to go there. You have to cross the border out of some other land into that kingdom. And that's the amazing thing. Again, the kingdom of God is not of this world. But when it comes to the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of God, there is a border. There is a line between them. Jesus Christ is that line. Jesus Christ is the border. The King is the way in. John 14, verse 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And John 10, verse 7, "Therefore, Jesus said again, 'I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep.'" Nate, most kingdoms want to protect themselves. They want to keep their enemies out. So they build big fortifications, walls, and borders for protection. And when you try to get in, the first person you're likely to meet is a guard to see who you are, to make sure you're not a threat. Most likely to turn you away if you're not a part of this kingdom. But in God's kingdom, the first person you meet is the King. And he's not just standing there waiting for you. He's running to welcome you in. He wants you to be part of his kingdom. He has a place prepared for you. Jesus beckons us to come into him, to be part of his kingdom, to have his kingdom within us. He's waiting. He's calling us. For now, we have to live in enemy territory. But we can choose to be a part of the kingdom of God. We are called to be in this world, but not to be of the world. For a time, we will live in the kingdom of this world, but we always have to remember that this world is not our home. And we look forward to going home. We push on. We keep moving towards that glorious kingdom and to the King who loves us beyond measure. One day, we'll be there in the presence of the King. But even as we travel through life, we carry part of the kingdom within us. The King is with us. And we can experience the kingdom of God even in this world. But you have to choose to be in the kingdom of God. God doesn't capture people by force. He beckons us. He welcomes us into his kingdom. He invites us. But we have to choose to enter in. He lets people choose to be part of his kingdom. And he lets them leave. Every day, we have to choose who we will serve. Who will be our king? What kingdom do we belong to? A kingdom of peace and hope and love? Or a kingdom of fear and destruction? If we consider ourselves as part of the kingdom of God, we should be demonstrating the values of his kingdom. Instead of seeking after the things of this world, we should be seeking after the King daily, at every opportunity. Amen. Let me tell you, when you show compassion to people, when you help them, even unto the least of these, you do it unto the King. The King is there. We need to seek Him out. Jesus is there. Wherever two or three are gathered in His name, He will be there also. He is here today. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has drawn near to you today. Will you step into it? Will you be a part of it? Right now, we have another opportunity to reach out to our King. If you're a part of His kingdom, you should seek Him out. We need to reach out to Him every chance we get. And we have one right now. I'm about to open these altars. At the end of service, every time here at Redemption Church, we welcome you all to come to the altar and talk to the King. The King is here for you today. The King wants to hear from you today. He's the King of everything. He is the Lord of love and the Prince of peace. And He wants to talk to you. Don't miss this opportunity. Whatever you're going through in this life, whatever struggles you face in this world, you can talk to the King about them. He's here to help you through them. He wants you to be part of His kingdom. He wants to give you that peace that surpasses all understanding, that transcends this kingdom we live in. So I invite you, come today. Talk to the King. These altars are open. Pour out your heart to Him. If you need special prayer in this place, come within 2 feet of the steps, and part of the ministry team of this church will be glad to come and pray with you. We love to talk to the King, and we will lift you up in His presence. So come. Don't be shy. The King loves you. The King's waiting for you. Come and talk to Him today.
Thank you for joining us.
Talk to Jesus.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com and be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.